We'll start. Today's zap is zap kuf nun hey. Today's zap we'll learn the zuchus for refua shlema for blima bas miriam. Okay, we are in the middle of a sugya discussing studim and tzidik studim in a tree. Again, studim is like using the tree, which is like, for example, a peg in the tree. And tzidik studim are like the derivative, so it's one step removed, which would be like hanging something on the peg, which is hanging in the tree. So, Rabba Amar, right? Rabba is arguing now on Abaye, right? Abaye basically, Rabba is saying you don't have to make, there's no distinction between studim and stile studim. Abaye said there is a distinction. Rabba says there's no distinction between studim and stile studim. Manda asr but studim. The one who says that you're not allowed to use the studim, not allowed to use the tree, the sides of the tree. Again, this whole thing started off because we had the story where someone's child was rubbing their back against tickling themselves against the animal. And so that studim, how can you do that? So that's where we got into the sugya. So man da asr bit studim, asr now yit tzidik studim. It's a continuum. If you hold that it's asr to use the studim, it's asr also to use the tzidik studim. Well, man da shari bit tzidik studim, whoever says it's mutter to use the tzidik studim is going to say shari nami bit studim is also permitted to use the studim as well. So esvei, from Misharsha la Rava, from Misharsha asks Rava the following question. We have the idea by eruvei tchumen, a little hakdama for the next, for I guess, prakim and eruvin. Again, the eruv tchumen is that you're not allowed to leave your tchum, whatever the tchum is, wherever the edge of the city, 2,000 amos. Yomakom Shvisaso. Now, Yomakom Shvisaso is where you are ben hashmashos, but you can be kovei another makom somewhere else by putting their food for two sudos, and you have kavana to be konisham shvisa. That's called the Eiv Tchumim. And then you can go from 2,000 amos from that place. Now, what happens if you set your Eiv, but you have to be able to have access to the food. If you don't have access to the food, then you got a problem. So what happens here? Na'at, if he's Na'at Yotev Elon. He put a stake in the tree, v'talaba kalkala, and he hung his basket of food on the peg. Okay, so he put, and the kalkala has his eruv, and that's where he's going. And his kavana for shvisa is in the reshus harabim. The food is now in this basket, which we're assuming is dal by dal tefachim, which would be a reshus hayachid. So now he's got an interesting question. If he put the basket above 10 tvachim, so ain eruv eruv. So his eruv is not going to be good. Why? Because the stam going to say that the basket has dal tvachim. It's reshus hayachid, and he can't go get it because right, he's taking it from the reshus harabim. He's taking it out of the reshus hayachid, and that'll be a problem. But lamata me'asar tvachim eruv eruv, because then the eruv is in the same rishus that he's in. It's not, once it's lower than 10 tvachim, it's in the rishus, and therefore he can grab it. So all right, Rashi, look at Rashi. Rashi says lamata me'asar tvachim im hakakala betoch yud la'aretz eruv eruv dehu ve'eruv rishus harabim. Aval lamayla me'yud v'stam kalkala rachava arba havile kalkala rishus hayachid. So you can't grab it. We've got a problem. So the question is now, Taima did not Yosef Elon. Ha lo not, afil lemata me'asar tvachim ein eruvo eruvo. Let's say he didn't put it on the peg. What he did was, is that he tied the basket to the tree. The peg is sidei tzadim. Tying the basket to the tree directly is using the tzadim. So the reason why that Mamatim Esar Tvachim Eruv is a good Eruv is because he used the Yotet, he used the peg. Halo nuts, but if he didn't use the peg, I feel Mamatim Esar Tvachim Ein Eruv Eruv. Even if it was lower than 10 Tvachim, it wouldn't be a good Eruv. Why? Because he can't touch it, because he can't use the tree. Right? The Hatana, so you have here a Brisa right in front of us, to Asar Bit Studim, that says you're not allowed to use the Studim. But the Kashari, but Tzidei Tzadim, but you're permitted to use the Tzidei Tzadim, which is against Rav, who says there's no, if you hold one, you hold the other, you can't have one without the other. Right, Rashi says, Tam al dinot yaseid, dechishakal the eruvo, because when he takes the eruv, mishtamish b'tzidei tzadim, avalo not yateid, ela kashra b'tzidei ilan lo. So Amar Rapapa says, no, there is no chilik between tzadim and tzidei tzadim, and our brisa, which is a permitting you to take from the kalkala that's on the peg, he says that even studim a mutter. But the reason why us to take it here, if it's tied, is a different story. Hacha v'kalkala d'chuka askinan. We're dealing somehow with a kalkala that was sort of wedged into the tree. Right? Rashi says, the end, Kishakale leiruve minaid leilan. You can actually remove the tree by taking must be a small tree and put it in very very tightly, right? The ka'asar because kala de chukaskin and the bahadi de shakale eruv at the time that you take the eruv kamainidle. You're going to shake the tree kamainidle leilan become a shalish be ilan gufe, and then you're going to be using the tree itself. If you're using the tree itself, that becomes a problem. So that is an issue of studying this is actual use of the tree, that becomes a problem. The hilchos of the halach is, we do make the distinction. We're passing like Abaye instead of Rava, Tosfos asked that. The hilchos of studying asurim, seedate studying mutarim. Using the tree, the side of the tree is asur, but seedate studying is mutar. Right? Tosfos asked, the hilchos of, he says, Tame le Rebbe, Amai lo chashiv hani, bahadi al kagam, the halach of Abaye. Abaye made the distinction, Rava didn't make the distinction. Right? Amar Rava, man da asur, but studying, asur nami, but seedate studying. The Abai Amar Bitstadim, Kule Amar Lopligi, the Asr, Bitstadim, so the Pligi. We seem to over here, it's not really exactly passing like Abai, but we're not passing like Rava. So, why is this the Al-Kagam? Why is this one that we passing like Rava? That's Tosos' question. Okay. Another question that Tosos asked, the top Tosos, he says, Kasha, Amai Eruv or Eruv? Even if it's under Yutvachim, why would the Eruv be a good Eruv? But how Karmelus who came on Sherachba Arba? It's still a Karmelus. The basket still a caramelus. That's the takad. It's still a caramelus. But also the tatal is just a rabbin. You can't take from a caramelus until it's just a rabbin. He says v'yishlomer in caramelus b'kelim. Answer number one is those kind. It's not a caramelus because it's kelim. So machlokes we had earlier in the masechta whether or not there's caramelus b'kelim. No, he's because we said stam is that it, the assumption is it's 4x4. A regular basket is 4x4. That's the assumption. Okay. That's another answer. If it's not, it's not. Then you change the new kimta. Says the Yesh Lomer ain't kamos b'kelim because the previous b'kodesh parakam de b'chelotin gabe high kapos manachos inami karebi the amr kol davar sumi shum shvus lo gors lo venos mashos. You set your shvisa at venos mashos. We had this before. Is that anything that's asumi to be shum shvus doesn't get the isra status at venos mashos? So at venos mashos, and it kamos is a derabban. At venos mashos, when you establish your reshut, when you establish your shvisa, you're dealing with a karmelis. But at Benesh Mashos, there's no concept of a karmelus yet, because it's a Durabanan. So when you established your Shvisa, it was Mutter, and you go by that time period, and then it would be Mutter. Okay. So we say, Hilchot Studim Asurim, Stidit Studim Mutterim, Amr of Asher, and Asher says, Hashto Darmat, Studim Asurim. Now that we say that Studim is Asur, Hadargar de Midla. Right, so you have this ladder. It seems to be a ladder that the Rashi says, Asulam Sholombo, Lesukas, Notrim, Soosim, Agave, Kundasim, Devoim. You use a ladder to climb up to it's almost to climb up for a watchtower. So you use a ladder to climb a tree. You can't lean the ladder on the tree. Hi dargin imodla, lo linche inishadikla. Person shouldn't lean on the tree. The havu studim, right? And that's using studim. Ella linche agave labar dikla. You should lean it on pegs that come out of the tree. I guess you should have these pegs. You can see that. You should have the pegs come out of the tree and lean the ladder on those pegs. And ki selik, and when you go up on the ladder, lo line kari agava ze. Don't put your foot on the pegs themselves, because then you're using studim. What you have to do, elo litnach akanin. You have to use the rungs that come out from the ladder itself. You can't put your foot on the tree because you can't use studim. You only can use seedate studim, right? Rashi says lo linche rosh ha'ilan adikla lo yismach lo shasum l'tzadek k'tichisalik mishdamish b'studim. Put it on the yateid. Have the yateid studim usulam seidei studim. And ki salik when you come down, right? He says el akinya al shlivas asulam o kanim hayotzi mehakundasim. Use the rungs. Don't use the tree. So that comes up the maisa regarding a lot of things, regarding hanging things on the tree, regarding the swing, a hammock.
Treehouse
is a problem because how do you climb it up? And then and then using the treehouse itself. But more, I think more. Lemaisa comes with a hammock. How do you hang a hammock on Shabbos? So the idea is that you can't hang it on Midrash, not doing on Shabbos. Before Shabbos, you dig the peg into the tree, and then you have to hang the ring onto the peg.
Right, they do a hook on it.
You have to do the hook, because if you sort of nail the hammock somehow directly, or hang the hammock on the tree itself, it becomes a problem. I think most of them have the pegs now anyway.
Yeah, they used to have those the rope attached to it.
And you would wrap the rope.
The rope was attached directly to
the tree.
The hammock.
I have a hammock upstate, and what we do is they have like this hook that's right in, and then And then you put it on. And all the different people tell us we're not allowed to use it, and we say, fine. But you are. So he said, right to Shulchan Aruch, Siman Shin Lamed Vav, says, Ein Olam Be'ilon. You can't climb a tree, Ben Lach, Ben Yavish, Ve'ein Nitlin Bo. Right, you can't take from it to Emish Damshim, Mechuba, the Karka Cloud, Gzera Shema Yalav Yitlosh. It's a Gzera of Kotzer that maybe you'll go up, maybe you'll use the tree and rip it off. Now, Olam Be'ilon B'Shabbos, if you went up in a tree on Shabbos, the Shogeg Mutal Yarei. It's better to come down than staying up in the tree. You're staying up in the tree every moment that you're in the tree, you're using it. Coming down, it's just that momentary usage. Right? But the mazid asal yared. The alumbi bold yok, right? He says. Right. The big shiloh that everyone always talks about, though, is let's say you're walking in the street and the wind blows your hat or your towels off of you and it ends up on the bushes, on the trees. Can you take the hat or your or you take your hat or your towels off of the tree? So it's just brought down. Some say not allowed you to do it. Famous question. It's brought down the Shut Shevet Alevi, Chalak Zayin Sin Mamdalid Nishal Ben Ogeya Talish Shal Mitzvah Shen Nafla Al Ilan Pachos Me'asar Tvachem B'Shabbes Imutol Likacha Talis Min Ilan. There he says your mutter according to the Rush because the Isser is Shema Yale B'Ilan. It says you can do it, but there are those who say that it's you're not allowed to do that. Right here in the Shabbos song by Rabbi Cohn, he says the sages prohibited removing an object from a tree on Shabbos because when he removes an object from a tree, he often ends up leaning on the tree in order to retrieve the object. The prohibition applies both to objects placed on a tree on Shabbos or prior to Shabbos. Items that came to be on the tree accidentally may be removed on Shabbos. For example, if the wind blew one's hat onto a bush, which is taller than 3 tefachim, one may remove the hat from the bush on Shabbos. There's a long footnote. I think the same thing applies to a talus. But as Lamaisa, this is actually a Lamaisa scenario that comes up every now and then. Especially with a windy day like today, if it was Shabbos, you might have the issue. Yarmulkes, hats,
and
things like that.
What's the
issue of Yalav Yitlosh. A, you're not allowed to use the tree. You're not allowed to use the tree because maybe it's a Gzera. Maybe you'll break off a branch. There'll be coats there. So you're not allowed to use it.
Right, but if you sit in the park, leaning your back against the tree.
So he says that you're not supposed to lean on the tree. He says you're not supposed to leave the tree.
Big tree that
one is forbidden to place his weight against a tree on Shabbos, right? The Mishnah Berurah says that, right? He says in Shin Lamed Vav, it's the Mishnah Berurah. Some boys, he's the Ein Litnim, the Huadin, the Ein Nishanim, the Nismachim Bo. You're not allowed to lean on it. He says you're not allowed to lean on it. You're not allowed to lean on a tree. Let's see if he gets over here. Placing one's weight against a tree is defined as leaning in such a manner that if the tree would be removed, one would fall. One is, however, permitted to lightly lean against the tree, i.e., he would not fall if the tree were removed. This type, that's not considered using the tree. However, this is only true if the tree does not bend or sway. Similar, sitting on a tree is forbidden because one is using the tree.
So a redwood tree you could sit against that tree?
It should be lightly, to the point that if the tree was removed, you wouldn't fall. It should be known that leaning and sitting is only forbidden. No, the whole idea of using the tree, Shema Yalav Yitlosh, as a safeguard against the possibility of a person transgressing the Malach of Kotzer on Shabbos, the sages prohibited various activities that may lead to the Malach of Kotzer. These activities are climbing a tree, leaning on a tree, placing an object on a tree, shaking a tree. These are Shema Yalav Yitlosh, Gzeir Mishum Kotzer. Okay, done with that. Next, feeding animals. How do you feed animals? Okay, and the Mishnah is now going to deal with different ways of preparing food for the animals. Matirin piki omer lifnei habehema. You can untie the bundles of straw in front of the animal, so it would be easy for them to eat. Umifasfasin es hakipin, and you can scatter the kipin. We'll see what those are. Avalo es hazirin, but not the zirin. We'll see what that is. Ein miraskin, you can't chop up or break up. Loas hashachas, the shachas is some sort of tvua that it hasn't completed a third of its ripening, and you cut it for tzorach ma'akal behema. You can't chop it up or break it up. But loas hacheruvim lifnei behema, or the cheruvim, you also can't break up to make that one. Just makes it easier for the animal to eat. It's already food, but you make it easier. Ben daka ben gasa, whether it's a behema, a small animal, whether it's a large animal. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'cheruvim. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to break up the cheruvim for a daka, for a small animal, because a small animal that has its teeth are smaller and it can't eat it without it being pulverized a bit. Okay, so what's the Mishnah talking about? Rav Huna says, Hein hein pikiin, hein hein kipi. Pikiye and kippin are the same thing, right? Except that pikiyin trei, kippin tulasa. Pikiyin means that the straw is wrapped, is tied to top and bottom, and kippin is tied three. I mean, top, bottom, and the middle is an extra tie. Well, the problem here is tircha yitzeva, right? The question basically is, the fundamental machlok is going on here, is whether you are allowed to, are you allowed to prepare and make food for the animal? Or only if it's food, then you can do extra tircha to better it for the animal. That's going to be the running machlokas through the sugya. So you have pekin is tied twice, kifin is tied three times, and zirin, it says in the Mishnah, where it says lois azirin, that's arze. That's sort of moist, immature cedar branches that I guess are food, that are good for the, that are food for the animals. V'hachik amar, and this is what the Mishnah says. Matirin pekin amir, you'll have to untie the bundles of amir, right? Remember we said amir is tied twice. Lifnei behema, in front of the animal, so they can eat it. Right? Umifafsasin, and you can also scatter them, so I guess they can smell it and then come. Vuhu adin lekipin, and so too when it comes to keeping the things that are tied, the bundles that are tied in three spots. You're allowed to untie those chavilos and to spread them out, because the kash, even when it's tied, right, it's still good for Michael behema. So all you're doing now is being toreach for something that's already food. You're not creating food, you're just being toreach for something that is already food, to make it easier for the animal to come get it. Avalois hazirin, but you can't do this, untie or spread out the zirin, which we said were these cedar branches. Lo lefasosim, you can't spread them out. Lo lahatir, you can't untie them. Why? Because minastam, these things are omed lahasaka, not for eating. So by untying them or spreading them out, you're making it into food for the animal. And that's going to be the problem. That's the problem according to Rav Huna. Okay, and Amar Rav Chisda, my time in Rav Huna. Rav Chisda says, "What's the svar behind Rav Huna?" That's what we said. Kasavar lemitrach uuchla tarchinan. Suddenly, it's already food. You could be toreach bo to make it better and easier for the animal to eat. Lashvuye uuchla lo mashvina. But suddenly, it's not roi lachila. You cannot turn it into something that's food. Which is why with the cedars, which is when a stam, it's not food. And to do what you're doing turns it into food that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Says Rav Huna.
Yeah, what's
the Tirchi Yaseir, it seems like. That's what it seems like, yeah.
Untying things is what?
Sometimes untying? Well, it's clearly not a kesher shokayama, because then you have a problem of matir.
Right.
So it must be that it just... the idea is tirchi yaseiri, I believe. That's the issue. Right. Rashi says, V'hachi ka'amar, matir piki amir mafatsin, the cave under me kara uchla ninu, mutra litroach behen. You let it have the tircha, lachshirul matakim ba. We have a sakifin, abhe matirin, abalois hazirin, right? The cave under me kara stam lav uchla, vahashta, well, the other problem is vahashta, who the mishavle uchla, havle avluled uchla mishavas. Maybe it's an issue of nola also to make it. Maybe it's an issue of nola to turn it into food. No. Okay, that's how Rav Huna interprets the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda interprets the Mishnah completely different. This is Rav Yehuda and Amora, not Rav Yehuda. This is Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Amar. Hein Pekiyin, Hein Zirin. Pekiyin, right, which is number one in the Mishnah, and Zirin, right, which is number three in the Mishnah, those are the same things, right? Pekiyin and Zirin are the same things. Pekiyin Trei, Pekiyin is tied in two spots, and Zirin are tied plus in three spots. And keeping the second thing mentioned in the Mishnah, that's the Arza. That's the Arze. V'hachik Amar, this is what the Mishnah says. Matirin piki amir lifnei ha-behema. You're allowed to untie the bundles of piki, of the straw, that before the behema, because even when they're tied up, he says they're not considered food. His idea here is that you can prepare food, but once it's food, you can't be toreach, much more why, you can't be toreach to make it better, because it's already food. So he says, matirin piki amir lifnei ha-behema, right, aval pifusei lo, but you can't spread them out. Once you untie it, because once you untie it, it's already food. You can't be toreach with food once it's food. The kifin and the cedars, paspusi nami mis paspsinon. You can untie them, and you can spread them out, because without spreading them out, they're not considered food. The animal won't come get it, apparently, unless it's spread out. So by spreading it out, that's by creating the food, and you're allowed to make the food. Avaloha zirin lefasvein, but you can't, again, with the zirin, you can't spread them out, right? Elahat, you can only untie them. You can only do what's necessary to create, so the animal will come, will eat, will create, make this into food. Once it's food, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's tircha yaseir, you can no longer do any more to feed the animal.
By humans, we can
Well, as long as you don't violate.
I'm saying, no.
Right. To a certain extent. He says, Mitzrach v'uchla. He says, Mitzrach v'uchla. B'davar shetilaso ochel. Kodim tikun zeh. Tarchinon numachshiron liyavton la. You can make it. Well, that was the other one. He says, V'hakamar matirim p'ki imer. D'chol z'machu kosher. Every third line of Rashi. Kol z'machu kosher lav uchlahu. U'matir l'shvi ochla. You can make it ochel. U'mishum tzar behema shari. Because it's tzar behema, he has to eat. Aval pismus. Lo, the sagile batera, vis aved uchla pufsol sanu ba'amo, just for extra tanug. O mitrach ba'ochal, b'davish bar ochal, b'lo tikun zeh, lo tarchinon. You can't do that for an animal, I believe. It's only for an animal. Okay? So now, the Gemara is going to ask, Amarav, no, it's not the same, Amarav, my time is Rav Yehuda, which we already said already. What's the reason for Rav Yehuda? He says, kasav reshvu ochal mashvinon, you can make something into Michael Behema, because of Tsar Behema, but Mitzvah Uchlo Trachinon, but to make something that's already Michael Behema, and to do extra, just to make it easier, better for the animal, that you can't do, that's Tirchos Shalot Tzorah. It's not. Now the Gemara is going to ask based on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Eim Raskin HaShachas, right? You can't, that was the Shachas, you can't chop up the Shachas, the Esach Haruvin Lefnei Behema, or the Carib in front of the Behema, Bein Bedaka, Bein Gasa. My love Haruvin Dumin HaShachas. Well, since you say Haruvin, after Shachas, the Haruvin are similar to the Shachas, my shachas derakiki, shachas is soft, right? Af charuvim derakiki. We're talking about soft charuvim. Ama lo trachinim beuchla v'tiyut to the ravuna. What do you have here? These things are ochel already. They're soft, and it just says you can't chop them up. Meaning you can't. Once it's ochel, you can't do anything with it. That's a kash to ravuna who said you can do with ochel. He said the opposite. You can't create ochel, but once it's ochel, you can deal with it. So Gemara says ama lach ravuna. No, lo shachas dumi dacharuvim. Flip it around. The shachas is similar to the charuvim. Ma charuvim nakushe, af shachas nakushe. We're talking about here where they're both hard, right? And that by chopping them up, that makes them roy into a chila. That means it's the other way around. It's shachas dumi dacharuvim. The shachas is similar to the charuvim, where they both are soft. No, they both are hard. My charuv nakushe, af shachas nakushe. It's just like the charuv are hard and they're not royal achila, right? So too, and that's why you can't chop them up, because you can't create the food. You can't create the food. So hechem shachas. Where can you find shachas? Right? Where can you find shachas that's hard? He says be'ili zutre. The shachas itself is not necessarily hard, but we're talking about young donkeys who had the shachas, dry shachas, is very difficult for them, and they would require it to be chopped up in order for them to eat. So if that's what you have in your stable, according to Rav Huna, that's what it means. You can't spread them out. You can't chop them up, because that is l'shvui uchla. That's making it into ochel. Okay. Now the Gemara asks again on Rav Huna. Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda, which is a Tana, matir b'charuvim ledaka. He allows you to chop up the carobs for the behema daka, for the small animal. The daka in. For a daka, Rabbi Yehuda allows you to chop it up, legasa lo, but not for a behema gasa. So iamar, the concept over here is that the Gemara will not say that the machlokas Rav Huna and Rabbi Yehuda is the machlokas in the Mishnah, because otherwise that could answer it. The idea is that both Hanakama and Rabbi Yehuda basically have the same basic understanding and just are being cholik sort of in the Metzius. So Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda mati b'charuv madaka ledaka in legasa lo. If the Tanakama, who says you're not allowed to chop up the carobs, holds like Rabbi Yehuda that you are not allowed to be toreich with something that is ochel, but shvui mashvina, you're allowed to make it into ochel, right? Hainu dekaamar Rabbi Yehuda. That's why Rabbi Yehuda says that hacharuvim ledaka, to chop up the charuvim for behema daka, nami shvui uchlahu. That's making it into ochel. That's why you're allowed to do it. But if the Tanakama holds that you're not, holds like Rav Huna, that you're not allowed to make the food on Shabbos, mitzrach b'uchla tarchinon, but you're allowed to be toreich once it is food. So Rabbi Yehuda, the mati b'charuv madaka, kosher kein legasa. If he says that you're allowed, if Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to chop it up for a behema daka, so kosher kein legasa, because all you're doing is making the food better. If by chopping it up, you're making the food better. So once it's food. You chop it up. What's the difference between the daka and the gasa? So he says, no. So mi sabra daka daka mamash. Behema daka doesn't mean behema daka. What does that mean? It's a different language. He's speaking a different language. My daka, gasa. Behema daka means behema gasa. Umai kari le daka. Why is it called daka? The daka of uchla. Because it chews its food very well. All right, the Gemara says, wait a second, no, that doesn't make sense. Hami the Katani Risha Bein Daka Bein Gasa, when the Risha says that, right, the Risha says that the Kanakama says that you're not allowed to chop up the carobs, he says, Bein Daka Bein Gasa, so then Rabbi Huda says, no, you're only allowed to do it for Daka Mamash Kamar. He means what he says, and he says what he means. So, basically, by doing this, we see that the Mishnah holds like Rabbi Huda. The Mishnah holding like Rabbi Huda, again, because in order for what if the Tanakhama says that you mitrafu uchalo tarfinon, so comes Rabbi Yehuda and says that no, that Rabbi Yehuda says you can chop it up for the behemadaka because that's making it into the food. So he's glad of making the food. Only makes sense if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now the Gemara is going to try. So basically, our Mishnah seems to work for Rabbi Yehuda, and now the Gemara is going to try to bring a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda from the Mishnah from tomorrow. It's going to get rejected. So halacha, it seems to be that we hold like Rav Yehuda. Tashma mechatchin es hadiluin lifnei habehema. Right, you let to chop up the gourds in front of the animal for them to eat it. Ve es hanevela, you can chop up the nevela before the dogs on Shabbos. We don't say that's a tirchosh lo tzorech. Right, my lab diluim dumi nevela. Must be that the diluim are similar to nevela. Ma nevela derikika, just like the nevela meat is usually soft. Right, it's usually soft. After luim the rikiki, so too the diluim are soft, meaning they're already food. Alma tarchina ba'uchla. By chopping it up, you're being toreach with the uchla. It's food that's already, and you're being toreach with the uchla. That's Rav Huna. That's against Tiyufta the Rav Yehuda. That's against Rav Yehuda. Says no. Gemara says no. Other way around. Amar Rav Yehuda. Nevela duma the diluim. No, the nevela is similar to the diluim. Ma diluim da ashuni. Just like the diluim are min astam, they're hard. Af nevela da ashuni. We're talking about a nevela. It's also hard. Right, and that's why the Tana is allowing you to chop it up. Because by chopping it up, you're now making it into food ready for the animal. You're not dealing with food already. You're making it into food, which is exactly what Yehuda's Shita is. The Heichi Mishkachas Law, how can you have basa nevela that is hard? Usually the meat is soft. We're dealing with the basa pili, elephant meat, which I guess is very hard. Inami, right? Inami, bigur, Menachem smiling. Inami, bigur, Raisa. Right? Should I announce it? Should I announce the forthcoming publication? No. Inami Biguraisa Zutri. Or you can say that we're talking about... What? Or you can say that we're talking about small dogs, that all nevela is very difficult for them, like a chihuahua, I guess. You know, you have to chop it up to make it into rayu to be eaten. Okay, so we don't have a kasha Rav Yehuda. Now the Gemara is trying to ask again Rav Yehuda. Tashma, the Tani Rav Chanan min Nahardah, Rav Chanan said... Mifarchin teven vaspasta. You can cut up straw and aspasta, which is the shachas, even though the animal basically eats the stuff without it being chopped up. So you see a lot of deal with food. Umearvin, you're allowed to put them together. You can put them together so they can eat it. Amotarchin buchla. You see that you're allowed to be toreich and make the food better, which is against Rav Yehuda. That's a right for Rav Huna. So Gemara says, no. Teven, we're dealing with over here, betivna saria. It's some sort of burnt or ruined teven. That without chopping it or anything, the animal won't eat it. So what you're doing is changing the matzias. Matzias is that we're dealing with things that are not foodstuffs. And what you're doing, you're making it into the foodstuff. And aspasta is talking about be'ili zutra. Again, we're talking about the small donkeys that can't chew it unless it's chopped up. So this is why. So it's not a raya for Rav Yehuna. It's not a raya for Rav Yehuna. There's no kasha on Rav Yehuda.
There's no raya either way for
Yehuda. No, we said that our Mishnah ended up being a raya for Rav Yehuda. That's what we ended up with. The Mishnah, we tried to explain the Mishnah, didn't make sense according to Rav Huna. Okay, next. I never saw an elephant meat, nevela. Ein ovsin, okay? You may not overstuff the gamal, which means you can't basically take the food and shove it down its throat against its will. The idea was basically that the animal would store it, and then you could go on a long trip without feeding the animal. Ain ovsim esagamal, the low darsin, right? You don't do darsin, which seems to be a lower level 2 of stuff in the animal. Aval mal itin, but you allow to mal itin. Sigmar's gonna explain what these things are. The ain ma'amirin esagolin, aval mal itin. You can't do ma'amarin, which is force feeding, but you are allowed to do mal itin. Okay? These are different ways, I guess, of fattening up the cow. For the camel, you're not fattening it up, but for the cow, you want to fatten it up. Okay? Ume halketin, you're allowed to stuff the food down the throat, the tarnagolin, for the chickens. Venosnin mayim the morsan. You're allowed to put water. You have to put water into their seed, as long as you don't need it, you know, because now you're making sort of a mixture. You're softening it. You have to put that into the seed. About low govlin, right? You can't need it. The ain nosni my lift they devorim. You can't put water in front of the bees. The lifnei yoni b'shovach, and you can't put it in front of the doves that are in the dove coat. Why? Because basically going to say is that these bal chaylim, it's ain mizonersechem aleim. They go out to the field and they feed themselves. You can't, you know, they're not on you to feed, which is comes into the issue of Shabbos Shira, putting out the bird feed on Shabbos. Just put it out before Shabbos, not a problem. But putting out the bird feed on Shabbos itself, there are those who say that that's an issue. Aval nosdin lifnei avazin v'tanagolim lifnei yoni hadridisos. You can put it in front of the avazin v'tanagolim. You can put the water out in front of them. Those are more domesticated animals. Those are the animals that it is your responsibility to feed them. Okay, now the Gemara will say, what is the Mishnah talking about? So, my ein obsin. What does it mean, ein obsin, right? We're not allowed to do... Let I do osin for the gamal. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, "Ein osin ma ibus betoch meya." So you sort of can't make like a trap into their mouth. You can't force feed them, stuff it down. Right? Umi ikak yai gavna. And is it shchiach to feed an animal this way? Gemara says, "In yeah." Because the Amar Rav Yirmi Midifti. Rav Yirmi Midifti said, "Dilidi chazili hahut haya." I saw this one Arab traveler, the Achla Kura, that before he went on his trip, he stuffed his camel with a core of food, vat ina kura, and he also put another core of food on its back. I mean, the guy was traveling, basically the animal had a core of food inside him, and another core of food on top of him that he eat later to prepare for this long journey. You can do that to stuff the camel, and apparently it works, so the camel basically will store it. I know camels store water. I didn't know that they store the food, but like, apparently this Arab said that they did. Now,
what do you think? I mean,
I don't know if it's preparing or if it's tircha. I think the whole here is tircha.
Yeah, but why are you doing this? You mean for some future...
Why he's doing on Shabbos? I don't know. Whatever the reason is you're doing on Shabbos, you can't. You can't force feed it on Shabbos. Because, I don't know. He has the food now. Whatever he wants to deal with the animal now. He wants to leave.
He's going on a trip.
Seems to be. That's how it can work. But you just can't force feed the animal on Shabbos. Ain, right, so the Mishnah said, Ain ma'amirin, right? You can't force feed the agolim, but you're allowed to do malitin. So, ezuhi hamra'a, the ezuhu halata. What's hamra'a, which you may not do, and what's halata, which you may do? Amar Rav Yehuda, hamra'a is lemakum she'ini yechol lahachzir. Hamra'a is sticking the food down the throat to a point where the animal can't regurgitate it. Right? Sticking it all the way down. But halata is lemakum she'yechol lahachzir. The animal that has you force fed it, but the animal has a choice whether or not it wants to continue eating it or spit it out. They're both sticking it down to the point where the animal cannot regurgitate it. But what's the difference? The hamra bikli v'halata biyad. Hamra, which you're not allowed to do, is by doing it with a kli, I guess, like some sort of spoon, and halata is sticking your hand down, doing it with your hand. Great. So that's the difference. Now we're going to ask. That can't be the difference. Masa Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked the following question for the following brisa. We learn in our brisa mahalkatin v'tarnagolin. You're allowed to do mahalkatin for tarnagolin. The ain sarich lomar shem milaktin, and you're allowed to do milaktin. The ain milaktin liyoni shovach uliyoni aliyah. The ain sarich lomar ain mahalkatin. Right, you can't do malkatin for the doves, and you also can't do this mahalkatin. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, my mahalkatin or my milaktin. What's mahalkatin? What's milaktin? Mahalkatin seems to be a more forceful way of feeding. So ilema mahalkatin, you say halkata is the safi lebiyadayin, you put it in your with the hands, umilaktin the shugla to kamayu, and malaktin is you just put the food in front of them and let them eat a ton amount that they won't stop, right? Michlal, so it comes right, michlal comes out, the yone shovach, the yone aliyah, which we said that you're not allowed malakatin, mishte kamayu namilo, why can't you put food out in front of them? There's no tircha by just putting the food out. What's the problem? Elalav, so must be, mahalkatin is makom she'en yichol lahachzir. That's putting it all the way down where you can't regurgitate it. Umelaktin lemakom she'yichol lahachzir. Right, and then mechlal. So from that, then hamra, which is our mishnah, which we're assuming is even harsher type of feeding. Mechlal da hamra'a bikli v'tiyuf to the Rav Yehuda. You have to make a distinction between them. If one of them is putting in, if level three is putting it in that he can regurgitate it, level two is putting it in where he cannot regurgitate it, what's level one? That's putting it in with a kli. So putting it in with a kli would become, therefore, would be a tiyuf to the Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda says that hamra is putting it down where the animal can't eat it, and we're saying now that hamra is putting it down where the animal can eat it with a kli. So amalach Rav Yehuda says, no, la olam mahalkatin the safle biyadayim. No. Now, halkatin is where you put it in with your hand. Umilaktin is suddenly kamayu. And malaktin is putting it in front of it and having it eat it by itself. Ah, but kashlach, yoni shov, yoni aliyah, lemishdi kamayu, nami loli. You can't put the food out in front of them. What's the big deal? There's no tircha. So it's hani mizonosan alecha, lahani aim mizonosan alecha. No, you're not allowed to feed these animals because it's aim mizonosan alecha. If you don't have the responsibility, you're not supposed to feed them. Kedisanya, like we have in the Brice that says, nos de mizonos lifnei kelev, you can put food in front of the dog, and they ain't nos de mizonos lifnei chazir, you can't put mizonos in front of the pig. Ma hefresh ben zeh lezeh, what's the distinction between the kelev, which you may, and the chazir, which you may not? Zeh mizonos alecha, the dog, you have the responsibility to feed it. Vezeh ain't mizonos alecha, but the pig you don't, because the Gemara that says that it's, you know, aror adam shmigad chazirim, therefore it's usher to raise pigs. Not your responsibility to feed the pigs. You're only allowed to feed animals that are your responsibility to feed. These dogs, the reason why you're not allowed to put the food out in front of them is not because of tircha, it's because aim is unless on alecha, you're not supposed to feed them. Amar Rav Ashi, Masnisin Nami Daika. It's a curse, yeah, it's a curse to raise pigs. Amar Rav Ashi. Right, so. I guess the same, but I think you're saying there's no, but just throw out food is not a tier. You're saying that it raises the level of tier chiyaseir because it's not mizonos and alecha.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to go that far. Once it's aim mizonos and alecha, you're not allowed to feed them on Shabbos. I don't know what to figure out what the problem is. Maybe what you're saying, the problem is that it's tircha. Could be. Amar Rav Ashi Masnisa Nami Daika. Our Mishnah is also a raya for this, because the Mishnah says, "Ein nos demayim l'tei devorim l'tei yonah shabashovach, avon nos l'tei abazel l'tei targolim l'tei yonah adrisos." My time alav mishum dahani mizonosan alecha, dahani aim mizonosan alecha. That's how we explain the Mishnah. The ones that you may is because it's mizonosan alecha. The ones you may not because it's aim mizonosan alecha. The Mishnah says, "No, l'tei meich according to you, my iramaya." Why does it say you're allowed to put water in front of these animals? Right? I feel chitim sari nami lo. Even chitim and sorim you can't put anything. Ela shani maya deshchichi bagama. The din of water is different. Because water is easily found in the lake. I mean, there's no raya from a Mishnah that you're not allowed to put food in front of something that's aimed on asam alav. Maybe it's mutter. The reason why you're not allowed to do water is because water they can find anywhere, just down by, you know, go down by the river, and they can get the water. But here, but by food, it may be different. So there's not necessarily a raya from the Mishnah, even though that really is the way we paskin. Now we have a little drush about dogs. Darsh Rabbi Yonah Apischa Debein Nesiyah. My Dixir, the Pasuk says, Yodeya Tzadik Din Dalim. Right, the Tzadik here is going to be referenced to Hashem. Hashem knows the way, the din that was put on the poor. Yodeya Kadosh Baruch Hu Bekelev Shemizonos of Mu'atim. Hashem knows that the dog, that the people don't feed it so much. They don't have so much rachman to feed the wild dogs. So therefore, Lefichach Sho Achiloso B'meyav Shlosh Yomim. He allows the digestion, it takes 3 days for the dog to digest the food. So once he does eat, he's full for a while. Kiddush Not. Arai is the Mishnah Olos. Okay, the Mishnah Olos basically is, the halach is you have a bal chai that ate basar mace, right? So the basar mace is in the bal chai, which would be metalba oel. So kol zman that the bal chai is alive in the house, the dead body inside him is not going to be metalba oel. Once it dies, and the food has not yet been the end of food, and the meat or the body has not been digested from inside, then there's you have tumas oel. But if it's been digested, there is no tumas oel. So how long does that basar mace have to be in the animal, in the inside of the animal, in order for it to be digested? So it's not considered tamei oel. So he says, kama tishe achilaso b'meya v'yeh tamei v'kelev shlosh yom me'es le'es. Kelev has 72 hours, right? For 72 hours, the meat is still the basar is still considered in the dog. So if the dog ate it and then died within 72 hours, we have tumas oel. It's a riot. It takes 72 hours for the dog to digest the food. The ofos ubedagim, when it comes to birds and to fish, kedesha tipol or betisarek. It says how long it would take for this piece of dead body to burn, which is a short period of time. Therefore, even if, we could say a couple hours later, if the bird dies, it's considered digested the basar mace, then it would not be mitame
ba'olah. The bird dies? The bird's in the house.
The bird ate the basar hamace. So it's not the basar mace is not going to be matamba oel because it's in the bird. When the bird dies, if the animal dies before it digests that basar mace, then the basar mace is matamba oel. But if it's digested, it's not matamba oel. So for the dog, it takes 3 days for it to digest. So if the dog dies within 3 days of eating the basar mace, you're going and the dog is still in the house, it's not going to be matamba oel. Because we consider the basar, the
living creatures food.
Sorry?
See, the living creature's food lingers.
The dog has to die. Kamatisha echilosu be'envi utame bekelav shloshi yom me'es le'es. It has to die. Rashi says, Kamatisha be'envi da kelav she'achal basar meis u'meis hakelav. And then the dog dies. That's what Rashi says. Bavayas. Tochim o yomim tam o'el. If he dies in 3 days of eating it, it's mutam o'el. Avo b'chayav lo mitame. But as long as the dog's alive, it's not going to be mitame. The tuma b'lua b'bal chayam lo mitma. Because tuma that's swallowed up in a balchai is not mitame, because the amar is learned to chulin. The dog has to die. That's the whole point. Okay. Amarav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna says, Shema Minah, we see from here, Orech Ara Lemishta Umsa Lekalba. If Derech Eretz to give a bone to the dog, to give the food to the dog, to feed it. Vakama, how much you should give, Amarav Mari, Mishach Udne, as big as its ear. Vechutra Basrei. And once you feed the dog, then, I guess this is talking about like stray dogs, not your own dog. I guess if it's your own dog and it's domesticated, it may be different. And then smack it with a stick so it doesn't come back. You don't want the dog to travel after you and want the food. And this is talking about in the field. But in the city, the Minastam, it has an owner. Lo, don't give it any food. The Asal Misrach, because then it's going to start following after you, and you're going to have to start giving it food. Amar Papa, less the Anya Mikalba. There's no animal that is poorer than the dog, because it has, I guess it's finicky and people don't feed it. The less the Asal Mikhazira, there's no richer animal than the Khazir, because it eats anything. And if it just eats anything, it's wealthy. Tanikav Asay Rabbi Yehuda, going back to the idea of what's Hamra, what's Halata. Tanikav Asay Rabbi Yehuda, right? Ezehu Hamra, the Ezehu Halata. What's Hamra, what's Halata? Hamra is Marbitza Upokas Etzpia, where you force it to feed it, and then you force its mouth, and that is Hamra. Bumachil Kashin V'mayim V'asachas, and you can feed it, I guess, the seeds and the water in one time, right? Halata, what's Halata? Machila Mu'umad, where you feed it standing, umashka mu'umad, and you have it drinking standing, v'nostin karshinon bifnei atzman, umayim bifnei atzman, and you put the food out, you know, in front of it, and he can split it out if he wants it. So basically, one is force feeding it, one is pushing it all the way down, one is not pushing it all the way down. All right, I guess I'll stop here. I don't know.